about to hear a life-changing message preached at the Qadesh Family Church in Memphis by the Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay. Did you know that backsliding is an issue of the heart? In this Sunday's message, Reverend Lindsay delves deeper into the signs and symptoms of backsliding. Just like when a doctor uses external signs to identify internal issues, Reverend Lindsay goes over the symptoms of backsliding, how best not to ignore them, and how to source them at the root before they damage your heart. So let's listen in and be blessed by this anointed word. I got a new family of friends, and I'm thankful. Yes, I am. Everything. Ever since I met Jesus Christ, I've been living this kind of life.
They say this mountain can be moved. They say these chains will never break. But they don't know you like we do. There is power in your name. We've heard that there is no way. We've heard the tide will never change. They haven't seen what you can do. There is power in your name. So much power in your name. Move the unmovable. God, we believe for it. From the impossible, we'll see a miracle. God, we believe. Hey. God, we believe for it.
Hey. We believe.
Oh!
we believe for it.
From the impossible, we'll see a miracle. God, we believe. God, we believe for it.
We believe. Yes, we do.
God, we believe for it.
On your word, oh
God, we believe for it.
Yeah, yes, we do.
God, we believe for it.
Hallelujah. Wow, give the Lord a round of applause. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I know that was very powerful, but now the time comes where miracles can be received, chains can be broken. This is the time for the word of God, amen. Our Bible tells us in Romans 15:4, such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us, and the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. Amen. The word is going to be brought to you today. Your hope is going to be brought to you today. If you just believe, miracles can be received. So if you believe right now, I want you to give honor where honor is due. I want you to rise up on your feet for the personal mouthpiece that God has given us today. Please welcome our very own Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay.
Oh, praise the Lord in the song, in the dance. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Woo! Make a move.
Those who know your name, those who know your name.
We are coming in the name of Jesus.
Put their trust in you.
There is no other.
There is no other faithful God. So loving and true.
Those who know.
Those who know your name.
Put their trust
in you.
There is no other.
There is no other faithful God. So loving and true.
Oh, oh,
oh, how I love the name of Jesus.
How I love.
Oh, how I love His name so sweet.
How I love.
Oh, how I love the name of Jesus. No other name means more to me.
How I love.
Oh, how I love the name of Jesus.
How I love.
Oh, how I love His name so sweet.
How
oh, how I love the name of Jesus. No other name means more to me.
Oh, give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we are so excited to be connected back. Lord, this is your house. We are not inviting you, invited us. Therefore, we're in the right place because we came on your invitation. Because your word says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, thank you for rest. Thank you for the peace of mind. Thank you for that you are the Prince of Peace. And therefore, when you invite us to peace, you cannot lie. Let the peace of God that passes understanding keep all hearts and minds here through Christ Jesus. Holy Spirit, you are the comforter. You are the helper. You are the teacher. You are the guide who is an attorney. You speaks on our behalf. We need you. We like you. Come along and perform God's perfect will through your word in this church. Touch everyone here and dismiss every demonic activity in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And all the saints shall shout, amen. Hallelujah. May you please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. So like I told you, I believe that since last week, it has been strongly on my heart to personally fast and pray for everybody who needs a turning point in any aspect of your life. Yeah. Everybody. And so I said it's going to be Wednesday to Friday, but I'm changing it. You know, reason is this. I feel that if you're obeying God, the faster the better. Now, why should I wait till Wednesday when Monday is there? So we start tomorrow. Clap for the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Yes. I mean, I think last week I dilly-dallied. I don't want to wait anymore. Okay? So come on the line 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. And in the evening, you come at 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. And let's pray for 3 days. Fast and pray. Okay? Pastor, God said, I should fast. You don't have to come if you don't need a turning point. No. I'll say it again. You don't have to come. But if I was you, even the fact that I feel I don't need anything, I need a turning point about that issue. Clap for the Lord Jesus. You know? And I dare say that something will surprise you. I tell you, you watch it. You watch it. And we'll do this for 2 consecutive, Monday to Wednesday, you're okay. And then Monday to Wednesday again. And then at the weekend, we will have a turning point service. We will have a lot of testimonies in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. The thing you've been waiting for so long, you'll be, Esther, I'm speaking to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Believe it. Brother Michael, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I really, really believe it strongly. Hallelujah. Amen. And so let's believe God for that miracle, for that turning point in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And so we're going to pray scriptural prayers. We're going to spend time 1 hour. And then what is the fast going to be involved? The fast is going to be involved. You deny yourself of food as much as you can. All right? For those of you who decide you're just going to drink water the whole day, that's fine. If you decide you're going to skip breakfast and lunch, that's fine. And then you eat dinner, that's fine. You decide, but definitely afflict yourself so that the Spirit will come up. That is when your prayer. Bible says certain things do not go out except by prayer and fasting. Yeah, they don't. Is it Matthew chapter 14, verse 21? Finally, certain things don't go out except by prayer and fasting. Okay, certain things don't go out except by prayer and fasting. And you see, the other thing is that Matthew chapter 18, verse 19 says that, Matthew 17:21, howbeit this kind does not go out, but by prayer and fasting. Okay, and Matthew chapter 18 and verse 18, the Bible says, 18 and verse 19, I believe, the Bible says that if two shall agree, again, Jesus says, I'm repeating it, that if two of you shall agree on earth, touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. And that's what I am agreeing with you. I am holding your hands in agreement. I'm telling you. Yeah. And in between that, I'm going to call some of you and personally pray with you. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. And if you are in this church and I haven't called you and you feel I should have called you, call me. And I will pray with you by the grace of God. I'm serious. Yeah. I'll say it again. In those 3 days, while we are fasting, I'm going to call some of you. Yeah. And we will pray. Yeah. And if I don't call, some of you will call me. Some of you will have to call me and we will pray a prayer of faith. That's the role of a pastor. And I intend to do it well by the grace of God. I intend to do it well by the grace of God. Yeah. The Bible says in, I believe it's in the book of 1 Samuel. Is it chapter 12, verse 23? Check it. It says, as for me, I will not sin against God by not praying for you, and I'll teach you the good and the right way. Yeah, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in season to pray for you. But I will teach you the good way and the right way to get what you want. Clap for the Lord Jesus Christ. Sion, you're not too young, okay, to call or for me to call you. Amen. And Rashad, you're not too big to call or for me to call you. You're not too far gone. Hallelujah. Spencer, you're not too rich to call. Even Job, richest in the whole of the East, but God doubled his riches. Clap for the Lord Jesus. I'm prophesying over your life in Jesus' name. Amen. No, it's going to be fantastic. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be a very exciting week. Yeah. And it is a double week by the grace of God. It's a double. And then we'll arise here. You will have testimonies by the grace of God. There shall be testimonies in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You watch it. God will do it based on the scriptures. Yeah. I don't even know what he's going to do. All I know, he's going to do a lot in Jesus' name. Yeah. Well, all I have is the scriptures. Yes, and we believe. Bible says that he has a more sure word. 2 Timothy 2 verse 19. Is that what it is? He said, there is a more sure word of prophecy. If you want to see what will come to pass, surely go. That's the word. A more sure word of prophecy. Is that what? Where? A more sure word. No. 2 Peter. The more sure word of prophecy. Is that not where it is? Bring it up. I think 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 19. Find it. Find it. Sure word of prophecy. 119 or 219. Find it. More sure word of prophecy. Sure word of prophecy. Find it. Somebody, whoever finds it, let me know. 2 Peter 1:19. 1:19. 1:19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you will do well to pay attention or to take heed, as unto a light that is shining in a dark place. I said that there's light shining in that dark place, eh? Until the day dawn and the day star will arise in your heart. Clap for the Lord Jesus. That word, that's what it does. It shines in the word, in the dark place. Light starts shining. Today, I want to continue to share with you part two, season two or series two on backsliding. Clap for the Lord Jesus. The second series, we talked about what it is. Now, we want to talk about symptoms and signs of backsliding. You get the point? Symptoms and signs. Now, the book of Luke chapter 21, let's read from verse 23 to 31. Luke chapter 21, Bible says, and there shall be signs. Luke chapter 21, verse 25. Down. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth. Distress of nations with perplexity. Shepherd? With perplexity, okay. With perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Now, God was talking about the end times and what is going to happen, okay? Men's hearts shall be failing. He said there shall be signs. Signs. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Verse 27. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Keep going, keep going. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your head, for your redemption is near. Watch this. He said the signs is a sign that something is happening, coming to happen. And he spoke to them in a parable. Behold the fig. So it's a sign that it is near. And then, behold the fig tree and all the trees. Then verse 30. I'm going to verse 31. Verse 30. When you see, when they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is now at hand. So that when you see it fruiting, you know it's summer. You don't have, when it's spring, you see the things blossoming, and then you can see that the you know it's spring. You know that there's whatever allergy season, the pollen and all that. Then it's a sign that you may not know, you may not have seen the day that, this is the season. Summer is about to come, right? Spring, summer is about to come. You see, that's what it means, okay? Now, summer is about to come. And it says, so likewise, in the same way, when you see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is near at hand. Now, what that means is that signs reflect something that with the learned eye, you can interpret. Yeah, if some people understand, they have had a little experience, they'll know that this is what it means. You see? I mean, when I ask Barry, right now, that when you see the pollen and you see that the whole budding out is happening on the trees, and then it means that then you understood, right? Now, what does it mean?
It's spring.
It's spring, and it's about to go to summer, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But you see, if I ask somebody like Mommy, she wouldn't know. She's never experienced spring before or summer before. Yeah, she just came from Ghana, right? So no experience. No experience. So when I say this is, it's me, oh, somebody, what you tell me, oh, somebody has just planted a tree. Wrong. Now, the same way, but you see that after next year, you'll be able to say, because he's a little more experienced and all that. Now, what this means is that when somebody is backsliding, if you have no experience, you will never know. You will never know. Now, I don't know whether there are any physicians here. Now, let me ask you, Brother William. Look at this hand. Look at what it's doing. What does it mean? What's your interpretation of this sign when you see it in somebody? I'm about to slap you.
High five.
You see? He says when he sees somebody in the hospital and the hand is like this, it means you need to give the person a high five. Clap for him for 0 points. You see? Inexperience. But is there any doctor here? Any physician? You, or any nurse practitioner? Do you know what that means? Well, one doctor says tremor, but this doctor says what?
Hepatic flap.
What does it mean?
Means your liver has failed.
Liver has failed. You're about to go into coma, and this man is about to give a high five and walk away, and the man is about to die. High five. Somebody's about to die. Instead of calling the doctor, you're giving the person a high five. Because of inexperience. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is how backsliding is. The signs mean something, but for somebody who's not experienced, you may just toy with it. You may joke with it and lead to the person's peril. Yeah. So that's a reason why for the trained eye, it becomes very important. And it's a sign of a significant internal damage to an internal, very vital organ. Now, backsliding is a thing of the heart. Therefore, if you wait for the heart to be affected before you deal with it, it's gone. It's like the heart has failed and the person is about to die spiritually. So usually the doctors, they use external signs to make a diagnosis of dangerous internal problems. Like when somebody's eyes are yellow, you would think maybe the person has gone to get some nice, your eyes are really... contact lenses, and you say, oh, you're looking really pretty. That person is dying from jaundice. That may mean the liver is failing, or hepatitis, acute hepatitis. You get the point. And all those things are there. And yet you are saying, wow, you have beautiful eyes. And actually, can I invite you for a beauty pageant in my school next week? Maybe the person will not even survive. If we got the right person to see, it wouldn't, he may not even make it. So ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that it's a very important thing for you to understand. You see? Yeah. So you don't need, there's no need for invasive processes. I don't need to cut you in pieces to see what your liver is looking, to see that your liver is failing to help you. If I have the right eye. Hallelujah. So let me put on the right eye. Hallelujah. Clap for the Lord Jesus. You know? So what are, so these are soul symptoms, symptoms of what is going on in the heart or in the soul. Okay, because really, you can know that backsliding is a thing of the heart, as we learned last time. So, because of that, we don't want our heart to fail before anything happens. Hallelujah. So, what are some of the signs? What are some of the signs of backsliding or symptoms of backsliding? Number one, bad company. Bad company. Bad company is an external manifestation. When somebody is backsliding, they usually associate with the wrong company, wrong type of, when I say company, wrong communications, wrong relationships, okay? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 33, evil communications corrupt good manners. Evil communications corrupt. Give us the Message Bible. It's even more beautiful over there. The Message Bible. You see, it says that evil communication, be not deceived. Okay. And why do you think verse, I'm talking about verse 33. 1 Corinthians verse 33. Okay, not verse 30. It's at the bottom. Okay. Okay. But don't fool yourselves. Don't let yourself be poisoned by this anti-resurrection loose talk. Bad company ruins good manners. Hallelujah. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm trying to say is that, you see, when somebody is actually backsliding, usually the people associate with the wrong company. It's a sign. That's why there's a statement like, show me your friends and I'll show you your character. Or birds of the same feather flock together. It's a truth. It's a truth. When people are backsliding, usually they don't even like to associate with the church people. And yeah, they like fellow backsliders. And what it also means is that even in the church, when people are backsliding, they find backsliding people to associate with them. It's a sign. It's a sign. Somebody who always used to be with prayer warriors has now begun to just run away from them. Something is going on. Something is going on. Something is going on. And don't take it for granted. It's just a matter of time. It will manifest. It's the truth. Who are your friends? Who are your friends? Who are your associates? Yeah. Now, when Satan was about to rebel and backslide from heaven, he looked for a third of the angels who agreed with him and associated with him. Those are the ones that were cast out. But two-thirds said, no, we associate with God. So association is very important. When people are backsliding, they usually associate with the wrong crowd. Amen. Now, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20 that, you know, the wise man, he that is wise, walk with wise people. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. I also like the Message Bible. It says that when you associate with and see your lives go into ruin, you see that, become wise by walking with the wise. Hang out with fools and watch your life fall into pieces or ruins. Yeah. Backsliding Backsliders, fan backsliders. Yeah. Now, when I say communication, it's not just with people, but it's also with things. Now, communication is not just people. Communication is social media. When you want to see a backsliding person, look at the kind of things that they trend in. You're backsliding. Somebody who used to send scriptures is now sending girls. Half nude. It's a sign of backsliding. Somebody who used to interact with the Bible is now only interacting with worldly books. And your interaction is with some kind of music. You used to interact with Christian music and now you are into unbeliever music. It's a sign. Communication is a sign. Bad company is a sign. Yeah. Yeah. Look, even if you see your spouse who used to be always okay with, and now the friends that they take are people that drink, are people that smoke, are people that are into all kinds of things. Watch out, that person is not, you know, it's true. He's not going to do well. So ladies and gentlemen, let's be, you see, communication comes in various ways, including movies, some kinds of music, comes down, movies, music types, certain books that we read, internet, the sites that we go to, the images we watch, the kind of conferences we go, our television select programs. Yeah. Talk shows we watch. The kind of drink we drink. Evil communication. Yeah. Let me tell you something. The thing that makes Eve backslide. Eve was interacting with God. It was cool. It was cool until he started interacting with the serpent. She backslid. And when her backslidden nature, she went and spoke and related with her husband in a particular way, she also backslid. He also backslid. Yeah. So those you associate. So you have to insulate yourself from bad people to prevent backsliding. Job could have been affected. When Job had issues, everything got destroyed. And then finally, you see the wife, evil wife, come and say, are you still serving this God who has taken everything from you? And he told Job, curse God and die. What's the big deal? That's evil communication right there. Watch what you hear from people. Watch what people that tell you bad things about good people. Bad things about, oh, this Christianity, you are taking it too far. Oh, this God thing, you are taking it too far. Oh, this church thing, you are taking it too far. Oh, don't mind that pastor. Watch such people. They are like Job's wife. They are like Eve. Wow. Yeah, foolish, foolish, foolish. Job said, you are speaking what, like one of the silly women. You have to pray for spiritual insulation from these people. Yeah. You have to. Actually, Job was not affected by the wife because he stood firm. Jonathan was told by the father, go and help me to kill David. He said no. And Jonathan said, no, this is not good. He told David, rather leave. What have you done? He said, the father, what has he done? You must be able to stand against evil communication or run if you can't. Run. 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 Bible says, when sinners entice you, consent thou not. Don't consent. Do not consent. Do not consent. So, listen, all these associations. When I was an unbeliever, I never went to church. When I started going to church, for a long time, I was still going into the club. When they are having nightclubs and jam, I was there mixing all that. I never was able to grow up in my Christianity until I ceased from this evil communication. What kind of friends was I going to find in the club? What kind of friends was I going to find in the drinking bar? What kind of friends? And they had adult movies and things that I was invited to. What kind of friends? At a point, I had to cut it off. There were friends in my school who used to steal things, when, you know, people, you know, there was an open market, there's a tray like this, and they put the wares on, say oranges or something, but there's something we call kenke. We were hungry at lunch. And then my friends and I, those associates, they will stand and I'll be behind. I say, asking, how much is this? This particular one. Then the other person will be distracting. Just asking the same person, how much is this? As I said, how much is this? And this one is asking, how much is this? And when he starts, turns to look at that, then me too, I'm coming. Then he turns to the back. Okay, what about this one? Meanwhile, the other is holding. And then I collect it and put it in my pocket. Local shoplifting in the open. Only there was no police. You would never have had a pastor. Wrong company. Wrong company. I was in the church, but moving with the wrong company. I never grew up in the Lord. I never became the person I was supposed to become until I let go of that evil companion. When I finished school, say young, there was a certain girl, one of my students, young virgin boy. Only I was a little academically excellent, so they took me to teach certain classes. This little wimp came and said, everybody's saying that I like you, and I don't know whether you also like me. And being a first-timer, I just fell for it. I said, oh, really? Well, whatever it is. Now let's become friends. Ladies and gentlemen, it didn't end well for me. Bad company will ruin morals, good morals. I can assure you, let me tell you, whether you know it or not, the time you spend in this year, 2 hours, you spend far more time with the companions that you have than with church. You better choose the right companions, because they will affect you than your church. They will affect you than your pastor. They will affect you than spiritual things. So you better choose the right people. What a blessing. My son just came, and then the friends that he had, one was married here, one is teaching in this place, one is in this school, one is in this church, helping them with their media. And I just breathed. I said, ah, glory to God. He knew exactly what to choose. That's why he's still in the Lord. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You got to do them before they do you. You got to move away. Hallelujah. Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, when you find out there are certain people you can't afford to get rid of them, say you are married to them already and they are bad company, you can't afford, or they are your parents, or they are your children, or they are your siblings. You can't. You have to insulate yourself, and you need to start introducing the Bible, introducing Christian music, introducing the subject of righteousness to prevent yourself from backsliding. What's the use of having gone to church for all the years? One day Jesus comes, he says there will be signs. He arrives and you go to hell. It was pointless. You shouldn't have started. So I'm trying to tell you how to prevent backsliding. So look out for the symptoms. When you see this company, change your company. Change the kind of company they have. Be intentional about your choices. That is why that scripture is important. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20 says, if you're wise, you will start walking with wise men. Yeah. But a fool, the companion of fools shall be destroyed. So company with the wise so that you will be wise. Company with fools so that you can be destroyed. Which one will you choose? Wisdom. Well, company with real Christians. Yeah. When it's your wedding and we see your bridesmaid and your train of people, we know what kind of person you are. Who's your best man? Who's your maid of honor? We know. Who's your best friend? Who is your best friend now? It's a sign of where you're going. Number two. So symptom number one is bad company. Symptom number two, looking backwards. Looking back or looking backwards. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 19 and verse 17, you know about, all of you know about Lot, right? Escape for your life. Look not behind you, lest you be consumed. Bible says it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that the angel said to them, escape for your life. Look, when we are escaping from backsliding, we are escaping for our lives. Do you know that everybody that came, God came, took from Egypt, that's representing the world, planning to send them to the promised land, which represents heaven, passing through the Red Sea, which is representing the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you know that none of them was able to get into the promised land, except those who were born in the wilderness, 40 years and less? There were only two of them that went, Caleb and Joshua. Not Caleb and Landon. So Landon, you are Caleb, your nickname is Joshua. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Only two, Caleb and Joshua. Yeah, Caleb was 85 when he got there. Do you know why they did not survive? Because they looked back. They looked back in the wilderness. They will always talk about the world. They will always talk about the world. They said that, oh, you remember the major complaint of these people from Israel, who God has taken, just like us, God has taken us out of the world by the blood of Jesus Christ, which is the washing of water by the word right here in the church, on our way to heaven. And then we keep looking back, just like the Israelites, they looked back to Egypt. They said they missed the onions, they missed their garlic, their cucumbers, their fish. They said they missed everything and they kept complaining. I want to go back. I want to go back. I want to go back. Because of that, they backslid, because they looked back. They looked back. Ladies and gentlemen, let's progress forwards. We've come too far to look back. Anytime you are driving and you are looking back, you slow down. It's called backsliding. And the only allowance to look back and drive and keep your hand on the steering wheel is when you are reversing. That's why it's backsliding. Any looking back is a reverse. It's backsliding. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah. Looking back is not good. What do I mean by looking back? When some of us, when we talk about, we are now Christians. Yeah. You see, I don't talk about, you should not talk about your escapades in the world with glee and excitement. Yeah. You should regret it. You should regret the evils that you had. Yeah. You know, there was somebody who got born again, a young lady, pretty lady. Now, before she got born again, she lived a certain kind of life in college. One day, she was giving her testimony. This was somebody who later backslid terribly. But the symptoms were there. There was a symptom of looking back, because he gave a testimony when he got born again. She got born again and said, look, ladies and gentlemen, I have a testimony to give. Glory to Jesus, glory to Jesus, glory to Jesus. Well, I used to be an unbeliever. I had a lawyer boyfriend who was also a businessman. He used to deal in drugs, and he would just, one trip to London will get me thousands and thousands and thousands of euros. We just would deliver for him in Germany, and I'll deliver for him here, and I would drop off this way in Canada. And it took me, I've flown throughout. Mention the place. I've been there. I've traveled far and wide. I've been rich. And you know, the man was so old and had some young sons. Sometimes when he's not there, then I'll be playing with the sons. The man didn't even know. I'll get the money and then now enjoy it with his sons in his hands in his own room. This was a Christian sister in the choir, giving a testimony. And then he said all this with excitement and give the details of all the great joy, the enjoyments he had had. And finally he said, and in the last year, about 12 months ago, I got born again. It's like the born again is the bad news. Oh, I was so excited. I had a lot of money and I met Christ. That's somebody who's looking back. That's somebody who is looking back. No wonder she backslid. The symptoms were there. Ladies and gentlemen, stop looking back. Bible says that when Lot's wife God said, flee. The angel said, flee, move forward, because Sodom and Gomorrah with their sin is going to be destroyed by brimstone and fire. And went, said, don't look back. And then Bible says that Lot's wife turned and looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. She never made it to the escape zone. May you make it in Jesus' name. May you never look back in Jesus' name. I said, may you never look back in Jesus' name. Those that look back, they don't survive. They don't make it. Don't join Israel. Hallelujah. Don't join Lot's wife. Jesus Christ said in Luke chapter 17, verse 32, I believe, he said, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Always remember Lot's wife. Yeah. By all means, there are some exciting times. You remember, rock me, rock me, rock me, baby. All those things. But don't let that eat you up. Otherwise, you are exhibiting the sign of looking back. It's just a symptom of something has not been healed in your heart. There are remnants, and when they take hold, you will not make it to the promised land. Israeli people did not make it. Lot's wife did not make it. That girl did not make it. But you will make it in Jesus' name. I said, you will make it. The next thing, you know, so the first symptom of backsliding that you should watch, there's several, is what? Bad company. The second symptom, looking back. The third is overconfidence. Overconfidence. I'm born again. Nothing is going to move me. I'm down. Ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing wrong with being confident, but overconfidence to the point of pride is not. That Bible says that pride, I think it's Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. Pride cometh before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. We all say pride cometh before a fall. It's not good scripture. It's not the right scripture. We've missed the middle. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So when you see Christians who are so confident than me, I will never fornicate. Me, far from me. Me, my tithe. I mean, I'm not like those people who pay tithes, who steal their tithe. You will actually fall. In fact, there were two people who prayed. If you can bring that scripture. Bible says a publican and a Pharisee and a sinner. They were praying. Jesus was assessing them. One of them, the Pharisee, said, me, I am not like this guy. I pay tithes of all that I have. I fast 3 times a week. I do not extort from people. I am actually very, very righteous man. And he said, not like this publican or a sinner. They were both praying, and Jesus was watching. And then the sinner was praying. And the Bible says, let me read it. Luke chapter 18, verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other was a Republican. Uh-huh. Oh, sorry, publican. Please, don't say it. Publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus to himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men. I am not like who are extortionists. They are unjust, adulterous. Look at that. Pointing fingers at people. Look at you, you are a sinner. You are this. Listen, Christians, be very careful. You see, this church and every church is like a hospital. Yeah, we are under construction. Even your pastor is not perfect. If you ask my wife, she'll tell you. Maybe you are. Maybe you should be the pastor. Frisiah, if you are perfect, then you should take the microphone. But I want to confess that I'm not perfect. So much as I preach, I should be careful. You know, if you are perfect, don't go and join any church, because if you want a perfect church, the day you join, that church is no more perfect, because you are not perfect. Stop pointing fingers at my church members and saying this and this and this and this and this. I know they are imperfect. Jesus knew that the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. is not a license to kill, but is a sign that that's why I checked myself into the church. That's why I'm being told about backsliding, because God knows there's a tendency. That's why I'm learning about symptoms and signs. So please give me time. So I'm showing you these not to overconfidence or pride, telling that you are the sinner, you are the sinner. Jesus Christ, when he saw the woman caught in adultery in the very act, pants down. Literally, you haven't seen it before, pants down in adultery. The man came, he says, any of you who has not sinned, they came with overconfidence. They were back to backslide. He says, any of you who have not sinned before, cast the first stone. Car, don't go Chinese on me. Cast the first stone. And from the top Pharisee to the Republican, they all dropped their stones. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Overconfidence can cause you to backslide. There was a guy who was overconfident called Peter. When Jesus Christ said that soon you, all of you, will betray me, Peter said, me, not me, never. Even if I have to die for you, even if I have to be in prison, no matter what, everybody will go, me, Peter, I will never. How dare you associate me with denying you? Talk about Judas, talk about Bartholomew, Philip, Matthew. You know how Matthew, when you find Matthew, he was in a tax collector, so he has a history. But me, I have done genuine job. I am Peter, the rock. How dare Jesus, you tell me I'll deny you? Excuse me. If you don't use that word on me, that's overconfidence. Ladies and gentlemen, I think it's in Matthew chapter 26 somewhere. He started a few verses early. By the time the chapter ended, Peter had denied Jesus 3 times. The cock crew once, and Peter denied 3 times before the cock crew. Yeah, telling the maidens, how dare you? I mean, they told him 3 times. I said, look, don't associate me with that man. Okay. Don't associate. Peter the rock. It's overconfidence. Any of you who feels you will never backslide, you tell me I'll never. Say like that man, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. There are Christians who say, my thing is, as for me, I'm not that kind of person. I'm the kind of person who I know when I'm about to backslide, you will never find me in such a place. Hey! I've never spent my tithe. You should never. That will be the day. Lord, somebody said, Lord, if I'm going to then kill me. Really? He will kill you because you are that fallible. So when you see somebody who's overconfident, you are seeing somebody who can backslide. Don't be too confident. There are some people you can never tell them anything. They're so good. Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 16, don't be overmuch righteous, overmuch wise, too wise. Why destroy yourself? Hallelujah. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, let him that thinketh his standard take heed, lest he fall. May you never fall in Jesus' name. All right? So all of you, be careful. Go for your quiet time. Do what you need to do and don't say it's above me. I mean, it's beneath me. It's these small people that are, yeah, you surprise yourself. Oh, I can go to the club. I can even go to a brothel. I can walk with pimps. Nothing will happen to me. Really? Don't be silly. Tell somebody, don't be silly. Yeah, don't be. Then the next one is stubbornness. Stubbornness is a sign of backsliding. Stubbornness. Proverbs 14:14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Are full of yourself. Stubbornness. People who are stubborn fall into temptation. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 13, better is a poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. Yeah. Some people say, oh, me, my child? No, never, never. It will never happen. You'll be surprised. Yeah. My child, it would never happen. Stubbornness. You see? Or pride. Now, stubbornness is somebody you cannot lead, you cannot instruct, you cannot advise, you cannot guide. You cannot tell what to do. A lot of the things that help us during backsliding, you have to be guided away from it, like what I'm sharing with you. You get the point. Actually, the Bible says that one of the treatments for backsliding is to have a pastor. Jeremiah chapter 3. All of you know verse 15, but read verse 14 and verse 16. Jeremiah 3:15 is, I'll give you pastors out of my heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. What are they supposed to do? The Bible says in verse 14 that Israel, return to me because I'm married to you, my children Israel, and I'll take you one from a city, two from a family, and I'll bring you to Zion, to the church. And then I will give you pastors out of my heart. You see, backsliding people, giving to pastors, and then they will lead them. And verse 16 says, then at that time, everything, there will be increase again, and you wouldn't need to say, the temple, the tabernacle. Ladies and gentlemen, the idea is that one of the things that prevent you from backsliding when the Lord restores you is to give you a pastor to lead you, to guide you, to teach you some of these things. If you're stubborn, you will never do them. If you're stubborn, you say, he's talking too much. He's too full of himself. What's that? Because he's a man. Stubbornness will cause you to backslide. You will never backslide in Jesus' name. Then finally, but this is what I can give you. Christian surprises. This is very important. Christian surprises can cause you to backslide. Yeah. Christian surprises. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 6. The last part says, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement or surprise. Now, one of the things, the biggest things that bring backsliding is surprises. Yeah. Christian surprises. For example, when you see, and then you see, a pastor is drinking. A pastor is in a scandal. Wow. A pastor is quarreling with a wife. Then you say, this Christianity is not real. You're surprised. And you fall. Leaders are also human beings. Yeah. How many of you felt that, this pastor has gone into a prison, is on drugs, and he said, all this Christianity is fake, and then people backslide. There are many people, when their pastors get into a scandal, that's the end of their Christianity. Christian surprises. Said, if this pastor is that fake, then the whole Christianity is fake. No, it's not. The pastor is an individual who is just like you. Actually, Hebrews chapter 5, don't let any big man, pastor, or senior, or shepherd whose lifestyle becomes funny affect your Christianity. I look up to the hills. Look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, not unto a human being. Okay? Most people, they put their trust in pastors and leaders, and by the time they get into a scandal, it's over. Let me tell you, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 1, Bible says that high priests are taken from among men to deal, mediate between God and men, and they themselves have to deal with their sins first. So don't be a surprise. Anybody who is into Christian surprises, you will backslide. Another Christian surprise is when you see that the saints are sinning. I came to this church and I saw that somebody was actually, this guy, you see, one person came to the church, he saw one of our leaders, shepherds, and said, this guy, I've slept with him many times. And said, I'm leaving this church. This is not a good church. That person never grew. That person backslid. Christian surprises. Because somebody you have slept with, somebody you have stolen with, somebody who had, can you imagine my friend that I used to steal openly comes here and I'm preaching, and then he may not be affected because he surprised. Yeah. Now, the other surprise is Christian disappointments. Bad things happening to you will surprise you. Now, I would have been okay if I was an unbeliever and I didn't have a husband. And somebody said, when I was an unbeliever, I could date any man I wanted. The pot belly, cap belly, whatever. But since I became a Christian, rather, nobody is coming to me. That, if you start thinking that way, you backslide. Christian disappointment. Has anybody been disappointed before? where you prayed and the prayer was not answered. Surprise, surprise. Where you laid hands on the sick and they didn't recover. Said God doesn't exist. If you behave that way, you have lowered the Lord to your miracle. Your miracle. And such people backslide easily. They cannot handle surprises. Bad news. I mean, I pray to God, how come my father died? This Christianity is not real. That's how people backslide. When you start thinking that way, you are actually, I pray to God, why don't I have a baby? Why don't I have a husband? Why are my papers not here? Why is this not this? Why is that not that? Why am I still ill? Ladies and gentlemen, it is not like that. Job was the most prayerful. But look at what happened. Everything he lost. But he still held on. He said, my righteousness I'll hold on and I'll never let go. He said, yea, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He said, my Redeemer liveth, and at the end he will stand with me. And at the end, he stood with him. Ladies and gentlemen, don't backslide because of surprises. Your prayer is not what will give marks to heaven about God's performance. Yet such that because of your prayer apparently not being answered, now God has failed. Therefore, you are backslidden. No, if you're like that, you will lose out. Bible says, when your faith fails in adversity, then your strength was small indeed, very small. I want to encourage you. Look at even Job. Can you imagine Joseph was doing the right thing? Actually, that led him into the prison. Job was doing the right thing. That's when he lost everything. Ladies and gentlemen, the year that I paid my highest offering, you won't even believe it when I tell you the amount. That was the year I lost my job. Yeah. At a point, I knelt down and said, hey, God, is that how you are? Me and you were not like that. I looked him in the eye. I mean, I haven't seen God's eye before, but I tried. I looked up and I felt I was seeing God's eye. I said, Lord, I told my wife, hey, it's painful. But I told myself, Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And thank God I have a better job than I had before. That shall be your story. Let not Christian surprises cause you to backslide. If you are prone to surprises, you are a guy likely to backslide. God bless you. Put your hands together. Rise to your feet. Rise to your feet. You will never backslide. Say, I will not backslide. And add by the grace of God. Say, by the grace of God. Put your hand on your heart. So what are the main things, the five things that you learned about? The symptoms of backsliding. Number one, bad company. Number two, looking backwards. Number three, overconfidence and pride. Number four, stubbornness. And number five, Christian surprises. You will never be surprised in Jesus' name. Put your hand on your heart and let's pray. Father, thank you. Pray the Lord, help me.
Deliver me from backsliding.
These symptoms, help me to see them and to handle them well in Jesus' mighty name. Now, if you're here, you want to give your life to Jesus, this is your opportunity. You're here, you want to give your life to Christ. You want to surrender. You want to tell the Lord, I know that these symptoms are with me. The backsliding, maybe somewhere, but help me. You want to rededicate your life to Jesus. You want to give your life to Jesus. This is your call. Lift up your hand and I'll share a short prayer with you. If you want to give your life to Jesus or you want to surrender. Let's all say this. Almighty Father.
Almighty Father.
Thank you for your word.
Thank you for your word.
Thank you for these symptoms.
Thank you for these symptoms.
Thank you that I'm not going to backslide.
Thank you that I'm not going
by your grace.
By your grace.
Forgive me.
For my backslidings.
Heal me.
From
my backslidings.
Help me not to look back.
Not to be stubborn.
Not to be stubborn.
Deliver me from bad company. May I not be overconfident.
I pray, oh God,
that I will not be amazed or surprised.
That I will not be amazed
in
or surprised.
Jesus' mighty
in
name.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Wow. Weren't you blessed by that anointed word of God? Come join our services this and every Sunday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time on Zoom at meeting ID 934-809-4313 or in person at 5796 Shelby Oaks Drive, Memphis, Tennessee. Be blessed.